Good morning. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah that says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And seeing that a few months ago I celebrated my 78th birthday, but God is pouring in his amazing grace, I'm just blessing God that I can stand here this morning before you. Because I have to say to you that a few years ago, I had a time of deep, dark depression. And during that deep, dark time of depression, anybody else here in church this morning ever been down? Ever been blue? Ever been depressed? Ever thought that your life was over? Ever heard the voice of Satan saying to you, "You're finished"? Anybody else here in church ever heard that kind of stuff? Hey, by the way, did you know that Jesus called the devil a liar? Do you know that? And he is a liar from the beginning. And when God lifted that heavy darkness off me and then filled me again with the power of the Spirit, it's been a joy to go forward with him and to know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I was preaching about that a few weeks ago. I had quite a bit of liberty doing that across at Crawley Baptist Church, where I was once the pastor, apparently, years ago. And, the truth still stands firm with me. He is the same. Because there's no one like Jesus, did you know? As Pastor Dave said a few minutes ago, you know, what was there so special about Jesus? Well, Jesus went through, he was tempted and tried in every way as we are, says the writer to the Hebrews. I still think it's Paul, personally. Yet without sin, Jesus is different. He's different in so many ways. And did you know that he split history? Did you know that? 17 days ago, everybody all over the world was going bananas. Did you notice on television? And all those fireworks were being exploded everywhere. And the sad thing is that for most people, they didn't know what it was all about. Because 2016 is kind of 2016 since the coming of Jesus into history. So sister and brother in Jesus, don't be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we shall be seeing this morning, he is extraordinary. And it's good to see some other guys coming in. And they are very welcome. Come on in, guys. Good seeing you. Other guy coming in too? It's warmer in here than out there, brother. Come on in by the fire. Good to have you with us this morning. Well, I've brought along with me this morning, at least I didn't bring them, but they've come anyway, two lovely friends of mine. Morning, brother. Good to see you. And the Lord bless you and bless us all as we share together in fellowship this morning. I have to say that David and Pauline and David have become rather special to Hilary and myself. Since we met them providentially, not accidentally, on the island of Jersey, we went to a Christian hotel for a quiet weekend, and then we met David and Pauline. Wasn't quite so quiet, but it was great fun. And certainly we've grown to love them, and they're here this morning. And I've asked Pauline to come up and just share a reading from the scriptures.
Right, this is Luke 3. I'm not sure how far I'm going with this.
I'll stay close, if that's okay, David.
Okay. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar...
There were a lot of people around in those days. We won't bother with their names.
Well, it was when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. And there was a lot of guys around. And he went...
That is to say, John the Baptist, yes?
John the Baptist, he went around the country, the Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
Okay, yep. We'll skip that and we'll go down here.
The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Does that sound good, Pastor David? I like that. Continue, please.
His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat, into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison.
Okay, and then we'll skip along to the next bit of the story, which I'm looking desperately for, and that bit there. That's fine.
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He
Amen.
Was a son, so he it was thought of Joseph.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Pauline.
Thank you.
God be with you and grant you his great blessing. So this morning we begin looking at the import of that particular passage in the Scriptures. And I begin by asking the question. Now, Jesus is so special that it took four guys to put together a record of his life and his times. And each of those gospel writers kind of looked at Jesus in a slightly different way, but there is no contradiction. To my children, I'm dad. To my wife, I'm husband. To my sister and brother, I'm brother. And to you this morning, I am your brother in Jesus. Each person looking at me sees me slightly different. If you want to know the real truth about me, it's best to talk to Hillary. Because she knows me. I mean, we've been together now, got married 55 years ago, strong, and we're still going strong together and with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, when God inspired Matthew was one time a tax collector. You see, God can use all kinds of people, can't he? Even tax collectors. And if you are a bit like me over the years, you were never very partial to those guys, tax collectors. But God took his gift and talent and ability, his pen, and used it for his glory. And when Matthew looked at Jesus, he saw Jesus as the sovereign, as the king of the Jews. Amen. And do you know that Jesus is the king? He really is the king. He is the king of heaven. Hallelujah. He is the king of the universe. And he is the king who reigns over even the powers of darkness. Did you know? You can trust in Jesus. But Mark looked at Jesus and saw that Jesus not only is the sovereign, but he came to be the servant. The servant king. And how we thank God this morning that Jesus came and served in the kingdom of God, as the servant king. And if Jesus is the servant king, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, then that behoves us to have servant hearts. Amen? So thrilled this morning to hear that you had a project last week to serve people for Jesus' sake. Isn't that wonderful? My, if the world could only get a hang of that, we'd have heaven on earth. Did you know? And one day, beloved, Jesus is going to return in power and in glory. And then this world, you ain't never seen anything like it when Jesus comes in his glory. I was talking about that a few weeks ago. The signs of the coming of Jesus. And the beloved Apostle John saw Jesus as the Son of God. Only Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Only God could speak like that. Haven't the time to pursue that this morning. Because moving on quickly, we come to St. Luke. Brother Luke. And Luke, when he looked at Jesus as the gospel writer, he saw that Jesus came to be the Son of Man, to be a real human being. Did you know? Jesus got tired sometimes. Did you know? Jesus got weary sometimes. Jesus was hungry. Jesus was thirsty. And Jesus entered into every human experience apart from sin. Glory to his lovely name. But he came as a real man. And when Luke sat down to write the story about Jesus, he called upon many people to be eyewitnesses of the mighty ministry and power of the Lord Jesus. You see, this morning, sisters and brothers in Christ, he wrote down, many have undertaken an account of the things fulfilled among us by those who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, so that you might know the certainty of the things you have been taught. They were eyewitnesses. It really did happen, you see. I've been to Israel 6 times. I had hoped last year to go for the 7th time, but it wasn't possible because of the kind of stuff that's happening out there at the moment. But Jesus really did come. And we can be certain this morning that what we believe is true. Did you know? And I think that's rather important, personally, to know that what we believe is not something airy-fairy, but something that is concrete, something that is rooted in history, something you can be sure about. Because, you see, if you can be sure about what we believe, that gives you the strength and the energy to do the will of God, because what we're doing is real stuff. It's engaging with the eternal God in bringing in the kingdom of God. It's historical, not mythical. It's experiential, not fanciful. It is essential, not optional. And it's God's word for everyone. And the things that we believe in did happen in a part of the world, the Holy Land of Israel. Yes, it really did happen here. Down here on planet Earth, something big, something bright, something beautiful happened that was so auspicious that it has changed the whole course of history. That's why we have BC and AD. And even atheists say BC and AD. And every day they yield to the fact that we have dates. Okay? And with great love in my heart, Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, and I mixed and mingled with them all when I was chaplain up there in Birmingham for 14 years in a great psychiatric hospital. And I've met and ministered to these dear and lovely people. But even they acknowledge that Jesus did come. Oh, yes, he did. Big question is, why did he come? But in the days of the Lord Jesus, there were those people who were eyewitnesses, who really reached out and touched and were touched by the Lord Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, has he touched you deep in your heart? Has he made a difference in your life? Has he made you into a new creation? Because he's in the business of being your maker and your mender, did you know? And the Lord Jesus has a wonderful way of transforming people and turning them from the inside out. He does that all the time. Has he done it to you yet? That's the big question this morning. And I do love these great stories that were captured by Dr. Luke in his historical record of the eyewitnesses of Jesus. That couple, of course, were Simeon and Anna. And Christmas has now begun to fade away. In fact, it was fading away on Boxing Day, because on Boxing Day they were already selling Easter eggs. And the world in which we live moves on quickly from the Christmas story and goes on to other stuff. But I love Simeon and Anna, that beautiful old man who could stand up and say, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation." And friends, it's a good thing to reach out your heart to Jesus. And when you have embraced Jesus, then you can be sure of this world and the world which is to come. And I want to say to you this morning that when you're 78 years of age, it's good to know where you're going. Isn't that true? It's good to know that when this heart of mine stops beating, as it will one of these days, I will not be dead. I should be more alive than I've ever been in the presence of Jesus. And I've met at least 4 or 5 people over my life who had out-of-the-body experiences and left their bodies and ascended into the glory and saw the glory of God, the glory of Jesus, the angels, the archangels, and all the saints of the Old Testament, and people that they knew and loved and journeyed with them. I might have told you this last time I came, I'm not sure. But it so thrills me to know this morning that heaven is for real, did you know? Hallelujah! And the older I get, the more excited I get. Because I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker. Hallelujah. And as we sometimes sing, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. Blessed be God. And so there was dear old Simeon and dear old Anna. God bless the two of them. But the next eyewitnesses that he calls upon to declare that the coming of Jesus was real was this lovely couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. God bless Queen Elizabeth. She's going to have a party soon. Yeah. And she's got a good name, because her name comes from this beautiful biblical character who one day had a shock and a surprise when her husband, Zechariah, an old guy, came home and said to her, well, he didn't actually say to her, because he was struck dumb. Struck dumb because he had believed but not believed. And I'm like that sometimes, aren't you? When God tells me he's going to do something, I say, that's too good to be true. But when God gives you a promise, trust in the Lord. Otherwise, you may end up like Zechariah. You might just lose your very voice. But somehow or another, he communicated with her. And I leave that to your imagination. And said to her, honey, we're going to have a baby. And she said, well, we've been on the pension for a good number of years now. That kind of stuff is all over. I've got some news for you this morning, spiritually, of course, but maybe in other ways too. Don't you tell God what he cannot do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you're never too young. Oh, I love children in church, don't you? I love to hear them. I love to see them. I love it when they make lots of noise, because it means that the saints are being woken up. And kept awake. Amen? You never understand people who get a bit shirty when kids run around church. I say, let them run. Let them enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen? Yes, I do. You're never too young, but the God can call you. And in the days of the Welsh revival, it was through children meeting together in prayer in the valleys, up there in Murfreesboro and other places. Hallelujah! And they, children, had prayer meetings. Little children were having prayer meetings, as well as the miners down underground were having prayer meetings, and all over Wells. Oh, my dear brother David. Oh, my dear brother, to think of what Wales has become. But it was through children that God moved in power. And some of these children developed gifts of prophecy, words of wisdom, beyond their age. God did wonderful things through children. But you're never too middle-aged either. And you're never too old either. Hallelujah. And God can still use you at 78. And even older. Hallelujah. And even like people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Blessed be God. And there's the proof of it. Something happens in the womb of this lovely woman, Elizabeth. And here comes one of my great heroes, John the Baptist. As a Baptist minister myself, I'm rather partial to this man. He's a lovely man of God. But of course he belongs to all Christians. And he is the great link between the Old Testament and the New Testament in many ways. In the days of the Old Testament, we had glorious and great and marvelous prophets. My, I would love to have been around in the days of Elijah, to have been with him on Mount Carmel. And there were all the priests and the prophets of Baal, and they were having a party. And old Elijah says, go on, have a big party, keep going, keep going. And when nothing was happening, you may remember in that powerful story, he said, well, maybe your God has gone to sleep. Or maybe, pardon me being indelicate, but we're all adults here. Perhaps he's gone to the loo. That's what it means in the Hebrew, I believe. Take it or leave it. And they continued. And then Elijah, Eliyahu, as my Jewish friends call him, Eliyahu. He said, okay, boys, you've had your chance. Now, Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. And down came the fire. I'd love to have seen that, wouldn't you? When the fire of God came down. An old friend of mine used to say, concerning the fact that Elijah had erected the old altar and had put the sacrifice on the altar, and then he got buckets and filled the whole thing with water, and then filled even the trench around it. And the old boy that used to be one of my mentors years ago used to say, Billy, there had been drought in Israel. Where do you think he got those buckets of water from? And I said, I don't know. He said, it was from the perspiration of the priests and prophets of Baal. They had been slaving all day, Brother David. And there was a lot of perspiration with them. But there was no inspiration. And what we need, friends, is not so much perspiration, but we need inspiration. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when you are inspired by God, it's amazing what can wonderfully happen. There he is, dear old John the Baptist. And God bless his life and ministry. He was a rugged chap, a really wonderful character. He had been born into a wonderful home, into the home of a priest of Israel, on the better side of the city of Jerusalem, where there was luxury, linked to pomp and ceremony, and all that very impressive stuff. But John the Baptist was a man called to listen to God alone, to listen to the voice of God, not to listen to the voice of the sophisticated, cynical Sadducees. You see, these Sadducees in Jerusalem, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe. And friends, you'll be sad, you see, if you don't believe. They didn't believe in the miracles. They didn't believe in the power of God. They just went through the rituals. They went through the ceremonies. And they wondered why nothing ever happened. And friends, there's lots of religion around in the world today. And lots of this religion in the world today is bad religion. Because it isn't linked to God. Not listening to the real voice of God that speaks from heaven. I will not be more explicit than that for good reason. But friends, there is bad religion and there is the real stuff. And the real stuff has got power in it and authority in it and the grace of God in it. Here was a man listening to the voice of God speaking deep in his heart. And when did you last hear God's voice speaking in your heart? He is a speaking God and he wants to communicate with us. And he has a voice that you'll get to know as you stay close to his heart. And he will speak to you in the middle of the night. He will speak to you through circumstances and through situations. He'll speak to you through the scriptures. Hallelujah. Sometimes he'll speak to you through your children. I remember that Hilary and I once were on the beach in Puthcall. And I said, we'll stay here. And she said, no, we'll go over there and sit. And I said, no, we'll be in the shade here. And no, she said, we'll be down near the sea there. And we were quarreling on the beach, a pastor and his wife, quarreling on the beach. That never happens to Dave and Vivian, I'm quite sure. And suddenly, my little boy Jonathan, who now plays the trumpet, he ran up to the two of us and he took hold of my leg and he took hold of her leg and he said, Daddy, Mummy, we are Christians. God can speak through children. Oh, yes. When did he last speak to you and who did he speak to speak to you? And I'm now going to pray. Father God, I thank you for Pastor David. I thank you for this anointed servant of the Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for his faithfulness and his tenacity. I thank you for his commitment and his dedication. And Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will richly and freshly anoint this man of God and grant that he and this lovely fellowship here in Broadfield will come underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that miracles will happen here in Broadfield through the ministry, through the witness, through the testimony of this Church of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed, Brother David. Thank you for letting me stand here this morning and do a bit of shouting. Forgive me for shouting. I can't, you know, when you're 78, you've got to get it. I mean, I used to get very excited about rugby once, but that's another story. To listen to God alone, to leave and to live by faith. I think, Brother David, you may know a bit about this. To leave security. To leave behind the things that you knew and thought were safe. To listen to God and to leave things and to go out in faith. And certainly Hilary and I knew something about this when all those years ago I gave up my position as could have been charge nurse in Neath General Hospital and said, Lord Jesus, we'll go on as long as you supply what we need. And some days it was down to the last penny. I'm sure David knows all about that. I'm sure you must. And God supplied miraculously. And to learn from scriptures. He was a man of the word, you see. He knew the word of God. And he was called to love and to care for people as God has called you, my brother. You know, to love them. Spots and all. And I've been pastor now to 7 churches. In 7 very different places. And wherever God has led me, he's given me a love for people. And I was just about to say that I'm now the pastor of Greenfields Baptist Church, the best church in Crawley, but I better not say that, had I? But they're not bad. They're a lovely group of people. And we can just feel more of the love of Jesus swilling around us. And just feeling the love of Jesus and reaching out in the name of Jesus as a living, loving community of God's people. And called to liberate people from sin. Do you know, Brother David, we've got a gospel that can set people free. Yes. Set people free from bondage. Bondage to Satan. Bondage to sin. Bondage to darkness. Bondage to the prince of darkness. We have a liberating free kind of message. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
And have you been liberated? Have you been set free yet in the name of Jesus? Does sin still have dominion over you? Brothers and sisters, we're not under law, we're under grace. And he can set us free, gloriously free, in Jesus' name. And to look for the Messiah. He was called to look for the coming of the Messiah first time round. We are now called to look for the coming of the Messiah the second time round. Amen? He's coming. Did you know that? And to look for the Messiah and to lead everyone to him. We are called to lead people to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Not to us. You know, look to Jesus.
Yes.
He is the infallible. He is the unerring. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever. As I was telling some people the other day. And there He took the people down to the River Jordan. There he is by the River Jordan. And while his message was, repent of all sin. That's a strong word, isn't it? Anybody here been in the army? Anybody here know what it is to hear the voice of the RSM saying, attention, about turn, march, metanoia. That's a good word, isn't it? Metanoia. Stop what you're doing, turn around, and walk in the opposite direction. That's repentance. Have done with sin. Receive total forgiveness. Isn't that glorious? To be as if you had never sinned. Hallelujah. But mind you, resolve to live different. And then be ready for the coming of the King. And there is dear old John the Baptist. And he's baptized somebody. And the word for that is hallelujah. And last Sunday morning, I had the joy, as two people here will confirm. Her name is Jo, and I had the joy of speaking to her. She was already a Christian, hallelujah, but she'd been wanting to be baptized for years. And last Sunday morning, Saturday, we filled up the pool and got it warm. And Sunday morning last, a week ago today, I had the joy of standing there, a bit cold around the legs, but warm in my heart. And my message to the folk there last Sunday morning was simply this. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing? Can I preach about baptism in this church?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Are you willing? So therefore, have a word with Pastor David. And have we got a pool here?
Yes, in the main church.
Oh, of course you have, yes. I was going to say, you're very welcome. Can we have a go in ours? But you better stay where you are. Then Jesus, don't forget Jesus, came to John. I'd love to have been there to witness this. Imagine John and Jesus looking into each other's eyes. And then this glorious moment came. When God the Father spoke, we believe in the Holy Trinity, don't we? God the Son is being baptized. God the Father speaks from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. God has got a Son, did you know? And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one but three. I can't understand it either. But I believe it, because the Bible teaches it. Whom I love. I was saying last Sunday morning, I've got three boys. One of them was in church with me last Sunday morning, and another is coming down for dinner this afternoon. I love my son so much. I could not part with one of my sons, even though I think I love you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and me. God gave his son. How much more proof do you need than that, that God loves you? And Jesus upon the cross says, I love you this much. Did you know? This much. Oh, the love of Jesus. There's a lovely Welsh hymn. Damagariad vela moroedd, tostir iaithai vela sli, twasoch bawyd pyr yn maroi. Damagariad, here is love, vast as an ocean, loving kindness like a flood. The Prince of Life our ransom shed for us his precious blood. Damagariad. Oh, such love, awesome love of Jesus. But following the voice of God the Father, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and came upon Jesus. God bless you, brother. Lovely having you with us. Like a dove, the Holy Spirit came. And when I was baptizing some people in the River Jordan once, a dove flew over us. I thought, here it is then. Hallelujah. And we did feel the presence of God's dove, the Holy Spirit. And Daniel, I promise you, when you are baptized, God will give you more than you've ever had before. I promise you that. Because the Bible teaches it. So get baptized soon. Don't be a dry Christian. Be a wet Christian. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's, you see, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a glorious divine person who really changes people from the inside out. He can give us real purpose, helps us find God's plan. I'm looking at the clock. He alone brings true peace, did you know, and enables us. He gives us power. power to live, power to die if need be. That's how those Christian martyrs, I'm very much in touch with the Coptic Orthodox Church, and they tell me that when their young people are being martyred, they are lit up with the glory of God, because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. And even as they're being beheaded and their tongues are being silenced, their tongues speak on, because the word of the Lord is pouring out into the lives of the people who are killing them. And more of these dreadful people, I say dreadful because they're in the possession, they're being possessed by a dreadful dark power, are coming to know Jesus through the witness of these people, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God bless them. Yes, he can give us power, Daniel, the power of the Spirit. And of course, it was Dr. Luke who told us about Pentecost. Is this a Pentecostal church? Hallelujah. We are Pentecostal Baptists across the way, by the way. Hallelujah. And God is pouring out his Spirit. He's not fussy. He can pour out his Spirit on anyone. Even Anglicans are being filled with the Spirit. I've been to Holy Trinity, Brompton, and met Nicky Gumbel. Whoa! And the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on the church. And my Coptic friends, they are filled with the Spirit too, and they speak in tongues, and they prophesy, and they lay hands on sick people, and they get healed. Look at Cave Church Cairo, if you want the evidence for that, on Google. Cave Church Cairo. Pentecost. A time for prayer. I came into church this morning. There was a lovely group of people over there praying. My goodness, I was blessed before I came, but when I sat down there, I got more blessed. It's a good thing to pray. Daniel. Good thing to pray. And then came the power. When you pray, God gives the power. And they were praying for 10 days. Longest prayer meeting I ever went to lasted for 24 hours. But 10 days. And then came the power. Hallelujah. And then came the proclamation. They went out and preached. And then came the penitence. Hallelujah. What must we do? Was the question. And that was the answer. Proof that they were now going to follow in the steps of Jesus. Okay? Unmistakable. And then, hallelujah, came praise to Jesus. Do you allow dancing in this church? Hallelujah. Because you see, this man in Acts chapter 3, he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ. Of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's the old song. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And God can do miracles in us and through us when we have the power and the person of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Now, there's a lovely church. Well, I don't know whether that's this side or the other. It's all the same place, isn't it? Is this your prayer? Is this your prayer? Well, it's my prayer. And Father God, I pray in conclusion, may the Spirit of the Lord fall upon this place. Bless Daniel. Bless every member of this fellowship. Those who are here today and those who couldn't come for any reason. Again, I pray for dear Pastor David and dear sweet Vivian, his darling wife, who praise God with him in the gospel, are doing good things for you in the kingdom. Bless this fellowship, Lord. And Lord, if they let me in again, grant that by the next time I come, that there'll be twice as many people here. We claim this in the name of Jesus. Amen? Thank you.